Did you know Super Awesome Mix has an app? Go to the Apple App Store today and download Super Awesome Mix. It's free. You could start creating and sending your own digital mixtapes in just a few clicks. Also, there's links to our Instagram account and a link where you can follow your favorite podcast. Speaking of which, welcome back to another Super Awesome Mix. My name is Matt Sedholm, alongside my co-host and co-founder of Super Awesome Mix, Samer Abusalbi. Samer, how are we doing this week?
I am doing well. I want to give the listeners a little bit of history or context on this recording that we're doing. So it's songs from movies or movies that, you know, like kind of made a song very popular. And I got really excited about doing this because I thought, well, this is going to be great because not only can we talk about music, but we can also talk about movies. But then I've learned that you and I have very different movie tastes because I haven't seen a single movie that you featured a song from.
That is so interesting.
It might have been a bad idea. I am full of regret.
Well, because I think I'd heard of just about, I think I'd heard of at least all of the movies you put forth. I realized right. I hadn't seen all of them, but yeah, there weren't any mysteries. But yeah, probably the way we diverge a little bit on music preferences, probably the same would be true of movies. That shouldn't be too right. shocking, right?
Yeah, I should have known better. Oh, well, here we are.
But here yes. we are. Yeah, it's summertime. The blockbuster movie time. There's so many big movies coming out now. So we thought we'd kind of celebrate that by celebrating some great music that either was written exclusively for or, like you said, made popular by a certain movie.
Yeah, and there were a lot to pick from, so this is a good volume one mix for sure.
Yeah, there's going to be plenty of volumes of this one for sure. So this isn't necessarily a top 12 because there's probably 1,000 others.
Absolutely. All right. Well, with that, let's get rolling. Song number one is your pick, and it is Old Habits Die Hard by Mick Jagger and Dave Stewart.
Okay, so I haven't even seen this movie. Okay, so maybe I should get that out of the way first. It's from the movie Alfie. Okay, now, the original Alfie was played by Michael Caine and was like 50 years ago. And then they remade it about 15 years ago with Jude Law. And that's where this song came into play. So this song was written for the remake of Alfie with Jude Law. I just think this is a great song. Like, it just came on the radio once and it got like just a smidgen of airplay, enough for me to mm-hmm. run across it. And I was like, man, I really like this song, and then realized it was from the movie. So the movie is about this guy, Alfie, who is, you know, some sort of, you know, lifetime bachelor and sort of goes around and has, you know, hurt a lot of women along the way and hurt a lot of people. So that's the gist of the film, right?
Okay.
But I listened to the song and I was like, wow, this is a really good song and kind of shows off Mick Jagger's voice. Like, it's not just sort of him posturing necessarily. I think he sounds great here. And then I also thought it was appropriate, Samer, because you host a podcast called Super Awesome You, and you're talking all about habits right now. And I was like, well, this hits exactly that. So if you're not, first of all, this is a great song, but second, I mean, it's a great segue to kind of say, hey, everybody should go listen to Super Awesome You and learn a little bit about habits, right?
Yeah, exactly. I just featured the song Breaking the Habit by Linkin Park, and I feel like Old Habits Die Hard is also going to be an appropriate one to do as part two of three on my little mini series on habits. But yeah, you're right. Like, this song grew on me. Like, the first time I heard it, I was like, I don't know, I'm not really into it. And then I listened to it again, and I was like, okay, all right. And, you know, I listened to it a third time and really, yeah, started to enjoy it. So it did have that effect. And I think a big part of that is just Mick Jagger's voice for me, because he's just got such a unique, interesting voice. And I've always loved the Rolling Stones. So I think that was like a big part of it, but I had not heard of the movie either, and in fact I immediately got it confused with Alf, the character from the 90s sitcom. I was like, Alf had a movie? Oh, that's great. But yeah, then I was like, oh, right, no, Alfie.
It was a super serious version of the sitcom Alf. So they needed Mick Jagger to write a serious song about it. Yeah.
Man, the 90s. 90s sitcoms are just something special.
No, Alf was from the late 80s. Yeah.
Was it really? Okay. Oh, yeah. I guess yeah. I was watching it in the 90s.
Yeah, you might have been watching in the 90s. But yeah, Alf was a... Yeah, I mean, he had the habit of always trying to eat the cat of the family that he lived with, right?
Right.
So that was an old habit that died hard. That's why Mick Jagger wrote this song. He was like...
That makes sense.
Yeah, he's like, why is everyone laughing at Alf? This is serious, okay?
Don't eat the cat.
Eat the cat. Oh, man. Okay. Well, yeah, good. Glad you eventually enjoyed this one and thought it was about Alf. This is perfect. All right. So speaking of, okay, this is kind of an all-timer, this next one. And speaking of animals, that's a good segue for this next one. It is Kiss from a Rose. It's by Seal.
Yes, I like that segue. So, yeah, I mean, this was my top of mind pick whenever we were, you know, doing this mix. This was actually a single 94, but then re-released in 95 on the Batman Forever soundtrack. And that is when it just kind of like blew up and became so popular and went on to like win Grammys and a ton of awards. And still to this day gets played and lauded for like what a fantastic song this is. It's probably Seal's biggest hit, no doubt. I don't know. Like, I can't name many other Seal songs. I can play this one over and over. Also, great for karaoke. It's like a crowd pleaser for karaoke. Like, everyone's going to get really into it because, you know, he really does in the song. But yeah, I love like the medieval instrumentation in this one, too. Like, that's really unique. Seal's voice is amazing. I also think this has one of the all time, like, probably misheard lines, where he's singing "a light hits the gloom on the gray," but I always heard of it as "on the grave," and I think he did finally say it was on the gray, but for a long time he was just like, no, I'm not going to clarify. It's like, come on, man, you're singing the song. Why wouldn't you tell us?
Well, and it kind of has like somewhat esoteric lyrics, right?
Yes.
So if you're hearing grave and you're thinking one thing, I think it would help to get a little clarity, Seal. You know,
Yeah, come on. That's all we want.
Seal's other hit, Crazy, right? Like, that's probably the other big song he's had.
Yes, I think,
besides this one. Yeah.
Yeah. And what was really interesting reading about this is that he was originally like totally embarrassed by this song and then basically like played it for someone who thought like, oh, this is actually pretty great, and convinced him to release it. So, you know, put this one in a different category that we kind of keep track of artists who kind of throw something together like, oh no, that song sucks, and then it ends up being just this amazing thing. Like, Smells Like Teen Spirit wasn't supposed to be like the lead single. Like, that was supposed to just be like the throwaway song on the album, and that was like a genre defining you know, music altering song. So incredible.
So you're saying Seal and Nirvana have a lot more in common than we think?
I mean, yeah, they do. Yeah, we can do a whole podcast about that.
This was from the movie Batman and Robin, which was the first movie and only movie with Val Kilmer as Batman. And then Jim Carrey starred in this one as the Riddler. And this was when Jim Carrey was like red hot, like did like Ace Ventura, and just was, he was in everything for a while there. So not a great movie. Overall, like, Jim Carrey's performance is pretty good and kind of fits the sort of Tim Burton, like, stylized, you know, atmosphere there. But, I don't know. I didn't love the Tim Burton produced series of Batman films. Like, so, or I think we're all thankful Christopher Nolan got a hold of the series eventually.
Yes.
But yeah, this is one where I think people know the song, but probably the movie was not as memorable. As the song
I agree.
Was.
Yeah, this is probably a unique category where the song's bigger than the movie, for sure.
That could be its own mix, probably.
Right. All right. Let's move on to track number 3, your next pick, A Mighty Wind by The Folksmen.
Yeah, this is The Folksmen, Mitch and Mickey, and the New Main Street Singers. Those are all fictional folk bands. The movie A Mighty Wind is a Christopher Guest documentary, mockumentary, if you will. It's about the 60s. What's that?
Sorry, he did Best in Show, right? That's why I know that name?
Yes, that's right. Christopher Guest, he did Best in Show, Waiting for Guffman, Yeah, so there's a whole series of movies that he's done, but and they all kind of take on a certain genre that they're almost entirely improvised, these movies, and they have a lot of the same actors. They're hilarious, and this one is just amazing. But this one was unique amongst the films because they produced a whole album. So there's a whole album of like fictional songs from these bands that never existed that are sung by these actors. And this is kind of the main theme from A Mighty Wind, where all of these bands come together to sing this song. And if you're familiar with like 60s folk music, the lyrics here are just brilliant because they just hit upon every theme of like, there's this perfect idyllic world if we would all just come together, and the blind will see and the deaf will hear. And the funny thing here is like they talk at the end, you know, the mighty wind they refer to is this mighty wind of change, right? And they keep saying it's blowing here, it's blowing there. And of course, because it's Christopher Guest, you get at the very end the twist of it's blowing peace and freedom, it's blowing you and me.
That line killed me. That was the one I was going to bring up. It's so good. Yeah, like the little clever like innuendo there right at the end. And because also I think like he's so smart to kind of make fun of musicals, because often musicals will have lines in there that you do kind of like tilt your head at, you know, especially like older ones where like maybe it doesn't translate as well 50 years later.
Right.
And you're just like, wait, what are you singing about? So I think that was really clever in that regard.
Yeah, the whole movie too, they're so earnest about what they do and what they sing.
Right.
That's what I love about his movies, is that there's never any overt jokes, right?
Right.
It's really just these people playing over the top characters that is funny, but it's because they take themselves so seriously that's where the humor is.
I mean, seriously, kudos to the actors, because I don't know how they can get through a scene without just dying, like cracking up. They're so, so funny. And you're right, it's like so much deadpan. Like the delivery is just, it's earnest. Like you said, yeah, it's so honest and real. But then you're like, these characters are ridiculous, and it's so much fun. Yeah, that's awesome.
All right, track 4, you went with Skyfall by Adele.
Yeah, I had to pick a Bond song, and it seems that you had a similar thought later on this mix, which is great. So the two songs are very different from one another. Bond, you know, Bond tracks have changed over time. Same with Batman films. They went from kind of being like cutesy in some ways, I think, you know, you could argue looking back at them, to very dark and very serious. Mm-hmm. So Skyfall is definitely in that dark and serious kind of, you know, Daniel Craig is a broken man theme and everything. And this is just one of my favorite that came out recently. It was either this or the Billie Eilish one, which is also excellent. I think her voice also does an amazing job for like a Bond film. But I mean, Adele is unbelievable. Like, she has one of the greatest voice of this current generation of singers, I'd say. And I think also it's like, it is incredible when you think about how big of a crossover hit this one is, you know, like, to make a song for opening credits for a movie is kind of a dated idea, but obviously Bond has just turned that as part of the franchise. It's like, you're going to get a Bond film, but you're also going to get this like massive, massive, like successful song that comes out of it. And so, you know, it is incredible. And she won Best Original Song at Golden Globes, at Academy Awards, and the Best Song Written for Visual Media at the Grammys. So kudos to Adele. She knocked it out of the park.
Well, and she's perfect for the Bond song, right? So if you're not, you know, one who has sat down and watched a lot of James Bond movies, the opening sequence, they play the entire song as they're rolling through the credits. And so it was always a big deal, I remember, when like not only the James Bond movie coming out, but like you said, like the song that comes with it. So it was always kind of this honor when a band would kind of get chosen for a Bond song. And Adele had this one, and, you know, her voice is incredible, but also just the orchestral background, you know, taking you through this sort of bringing the emotion, you know, bringing that much more emotion to her voice. So, yeah, this was, I think, a perfect fit. Of course, Adele was going to do a Bond song at some point.
Yes.
So I never saw Skyfall the movie, though. Did you see it, the movie?
I did several times. It's probably his best one, Daniel Craig's best Bond film.
I have not. Yeah, I definitely want to watch that one because I've heard it was good.
It was really good. Yeah, I'd rank that one either number one or number two with Casino Royale, and then the others all kind of fall behind back there somewhere. But this one is excellent. All right. Track number five, a movie that I've heard a lot about, but I have yet to see, although I feel like I should. So the song is The Great Beyond by R.E.M. And the movie, of course, is Man on the Moon.
Yeah. So that was about comedian Andy Kaufman. And he's played by Jim Carrey in that one. Really, I think if you want to see something, go and watch the documentary. I think it's called When Jim Met Andy. And it's about the filming of this movie. And when they filmed this movie, Jim Carrey like became Andy Kaufman and then refused to break character until they were done filming. And in this documentary, they just talk about how he just drove everyone crazy by taking on the persona of Andy Kaufman. Because if you're not familiar with Andy Kaufman, you know, before the word viral was a thing, he became very popular for these like public kind of stunts and things where he was kind of joking, but no one else was in on the joke.
Right. Yeah.
And he put himself in these very dangerous situations. So similar to Christopher Guest, stuff that's not just overtly funny and like kind of pratfallish, right? But it was more just like, is this person, it's almost like an early version of Borat, right? Where it's like, is this a real thing or not, right? You can't quite figure it out. And so the movie kind of, you know, depicts his lifetime, but then Jim Carrey sort of famously took this on and was like, I'm going to become him. So he's like pulling pranks and stuff on the set. And really everyone was just on their last nerve by the time it was done filming.
That's awesome. Yeah. I like the song too. I love the line, pushing an elephant up the stairs. To me, that was like the song the line that really stuck out of everything. And I think that that's just a great description sometimes of something we need to do. And I bet the cast and film crew felt that way about working with Jim Carrey on the set. You know, it's like pushing an elephant up the stairs. Like, he was just very difficult to work with at times while he embodied this role. So,
well, and you're right. The lyrics talk about, I'm bending spoons, I'm breaking through. Like, it's all about kind of doing the impossible a little bit, which is what, you know, Andy Kaufman kind of did, because he was this very one of a kind. And I'd say still to this day, you know, probably Sacha Baron Cohen might be the closest thing we've gotten to him. But he was just this very one of a kind comedian, again, in a time with no social media. So it's like, how do you get people sort of on board with these things that you're doing? So, the song is kind of perfect for who he was. All right, track six. We're going to take a very hard left turn here. It is Earned It by The Weeknd. It's from 50 Shades of Grey.
Oh, yes. Yeah. I mean, this is also a song that came to mind for me in terms of just like massive hits from a film series that just continue to get played today, regardless of whether or not, you know, like, I bet at some point someone's not going to know that this is from that movie. I think we all know, you know, because it's like we're still part of that generation. But I imagine in a long time it'll still get played because it is an amazing R&B track. But the movie will become less important that, you know, that's where it kind of came from. But yeah, I mean, I think this really showcases The Weeknd's, his talent, and especially his talent for R&B singing. He had such a smooth voice for it. And I think instrumentally, like, this is like a kind of sexiness in a song. Like, I hate to put it that way, but like, I think it just really does such a good job of that. The mood fits, like, I think it's perfect for this film, obviously, which is all about Christian Grey and like that whole thing. I ended up actually reading all three books at the time because everyone was so like nuts about it. That I thought, I was like, you know, I'm curious. Let me try the first one. And I ended up reading all three. they were interesting books, certainly entertaining. They offered at least entertainment value. But yeah, I just think the song is so good and really shows like The Weeknd's power at R&B.
Yeah, similar to Kiss from a Rose, this is a song I'd heard but like didn't know it was associated with a movie.
Okay.
Yeah, I was like, oh, this is just an R&B song, right? And then I was like, oh, okay, it's from 50 Shades of Grey. Never saw the movie, did not read the books. My wife had read the books. As she described it, they kind of just got progressively worse as you read through the books. So,
accurate. Yeah.
Okay. And I also remember somewhat famously the actors in 50 Shades of Grey kind of famously hated each other.
I think so.
As they filmed these. So I'm glad we got something positive out of this movie.
Yes.
Because I really liked this song and I was like, what's this from? And I was like, oh, 50 Shades of Grey, huh? Never saw that one. But I'm glad we got a great track out of it.
Yeah, absolutely. All right. We had to have Bruce on here. You know, I mean, he's done everything. So, of course, he's done a song for a movie. And it is The Wrestler by Bruce Springsteen.
Yeah, from the movie The Wrestler. He's written three songs specifically for movies. Streets of Philadelphia from the movie Philadelphia won him an Oscar. Dead Man Walking, again, from a movie of the same name. That one he was nominated for an Oscar but lost. This one he won a Golden Globe for, but then was not even nominated for an Oscar, which was kind of a surprise move.
Rude.
It is rude. It is. He's the boss. Okay. If you're not familiar with the movie, it stars Mickey Rourke as an aging professional wrestler and kind of shows all the struggles that come with that profession. I believe Mickey Rourke was nominated as a result of his performance in this movie. But the song depicts this, you know, just very sad scenarios where these, you know, things are they're trying to get a smile out of this person, even though they are this very broken person, right? And it's just perfect. I grew up watching a lot of professional wrestling, and as a lot of the kind of stars I watched growing up have aged, and then this movie came out, I mean, it was like the perfect intersection because it really is exactly like that. Like these guys sacrifice kind of their lives and their bodies going from town to town, and they're just trying to entertain because that's what professional wrestling is.
Right.
But they end up with just all sorts of physical problems and sometimes family problems. So Bruce does a great job in this song of just capturing that, even if you're not necessarily a professional wrestling fan.
Yeah, I didn't really know a lot of that context, but you're absolutely right. Like that song does a really good job at it. And he sings it perfectly well, as he always does. The other thing that really made me amazed is that he just like wrote this after a concert at Giant Stadium and gave it to them for free. Like he just kind of like whipped this together on his guitar and was like, yeah, y'all can have this one for free. Just think, like, what a career.
Hey, Sam Rattan, your lunch break, go ahead and write me a song. Okay. You just knock that out.
You got it. Yeah. It's going to be terrible, but I will write
okay,
it.
Okay. Thank you. Thank you. All right. Let's keep this emotional train going because I feel like this stretch of songs a little emotional. See You Again by Wiz Khalifa and Charlie Puth.
Yeah. I mean, I think we recently brought back up, I mentioned songs from Fast and Furious and how like they're all so good and high energy. And then we remembered that like this song exists. So I had to put this song on here because this honestly might be one of the saddest songs like ever, period. And then certainly much sadder given the context of the death of Paul Walker on, you know, from the Fast and Furious film. Yeah, I believe like the opening lines were actually written from the perspective of Vin Diesel, as if he tried to imagine what would Vin Diesel write a text to Paul Walker, you know, like what would be written in that text message or something like that. And so, you know, he was like, oh, what a long day it's been, but I'll tell you all about it when I see you again. This kind of really like warm way of thinking like, yeah, you're gone, but I'm going to see you again. And, you know, speaking that this isn't like the last time that they'll ever speak, which is really sweet. But yeah, this song is really good. I think it's really powerful. And it was made for the Fast and Furious films, which like you wouldn't expect such an emotional song to come out of such ridiculous films that just keep getting more and more ridiculous as they go on. So yeah, great song.
Agreed. Yeah, great song. Like we joke a lot on this show about the Fast and Furious movies. You're right, they just get ridiculous. But this is a really poignant moment in Furious 7 where they have the cars kind of pull up at each other and then kind of go in different directions while this song is playing. And yeah, I mean, honestly, if you've ever lost a friend, like this song kind of hits you.
Right? Yes.
Like yeah. It is a great song for that, even if you're not into the Fast and Furious movies. So I was like, yeah, this, I mean, feel like this has to be on here.
I agree. Yeah, definitely had to put this on here. All right, track 9, the other Bond film song. Very different vibe from Skyfall and Billie Eilish's Bond songs. This is Live and Let Die by Paul McCartney and Wings.
Yeah, I'm glad you had the same thought of like a James Bond song, because I immediately, my mind went to that. But I had like 5 choices. I was going through, I thought about Skyfall. I thought about Live and Let Die. Or like, obviously, I picked that one. View to a Kill is a Duran Duran song from the 80s, which sounds very 80s-like. But I picked this one because it was, I guess, a big deal when Paul McCartney agreed to do a Bond song, right?
Right.
Like, they got a Beatle. He did the song, and it's great. And when you think about, you know, a Bond movie, you can absolutely see sort of an action sequence going along with all the musical changes in this one. And it's a great song just on its own. Guns N' Roses redid it later. But yeah, I mean, this was just, I don't know, this was the one I ultimately landed on, but definitely could have picked Skyfall or any number of a handful of other songs for, you know, my Bond film pick.
Yeah, I just was like so kind of amazed at how different of a vibe it is. So many years have gone between this one. This was the first Roger Moore film. And then, you know, there have been many Bonds in between. And what I thought also was really interesting is that they recorded this one with like a live orchestra in a very large room. And I think that actually adds to the musical quality of it, because it has like a frantic energy and there are a lot of shifts, and you can kind of get that feel that they're like literally in a huge room with a large orchestra. They're like, all right, let's do this. You know, I hit record, everyone to your places. It has that energy to it. And I think that's another reason why it's like such a popular song, for a Bond film, and one that, you know, kind of has longstanding history.
Is real music dying? What even is real music, and who are we to judge that? Well, my father is a lifelong musician, and together we've been making music for over a decade. In our new podcast, we dare to ask the urgent, the weird, and the deep questions, and we have a lot of wild stories to tell. No matter what genres you enjoy, whether you're a musician, a producer, or a listener, we invite you to discover unconventional perspectives on music. So tune in, and go follow Mad Makings of Music wherever you listen to podcasts.
Okay, we can't talk about movies from film without including something from an animated film. So you hit that mark here with You've Got a Friend in Me by Randy Newman.
Yeah, I mean, also because we recently featured Randy Newman on a recent episode. And so Randy Newman was top of mind. And obviously this is, for me at least, like, you know, the number one Randy Newman song, especially just growing up watching the Toy Story films, which have been around for like over 20 years at this point. I think maybe even 25 years or something ridiculous like that, which is wild, because, you know, having that be introduced in our lifetime, it's like, oh yeah, didn't that just come out? It's like, nope, they're up to like Toy Story 17. Andy is now the old man from Up. That's the whole universe they've created. But yes, I think this is such a cute song. And other than the fact it's made for this film, I think on its own, it is a beautiful song about friendship. And I think the song itself just sounds like friendship. Like, it's got this little whimsy to it. And it just sounds really nice. It's got very cute lyrics. And I think it's one that, you know, if you've got a good friend, you can kind of reminisce to, you know, all the fun you've had together with this person while listening to this song.
Yeah, you know, similar to See You Again, right? It's one of these songs where it's like you associate it with the movie and maybe it lessens it a little bit, right? But when you really listen to it, it's just great. And you're right, it's just a perfect song about friendship. Yeah, I mean, you talk about how long these movies have been around. I mean, I don't even know if I saw Toy Story before I had kids, just because I was just like a single adult when it came out.
Sure.
And did not get around to see it. And then years later, I took my kids to see Toy Story 4 and we were kicked out of the movie theater. So there, you know, I don't know. I guess it comes full circle, maybe.
That's awesome. You're not allowed to throw things at the screen, Matt. That's why they kicked you out and your kids had to suffer. You gotta learn.
I wasn't happy with some of the choices the actors made. That's all. That's all I'll say. Okay.
All right. Well, listen, I don't want to fight about this any longer. It just takes us to track number 11, just the all-time, and may she rest in peace, Tina Turner, the song I Don't Want to Fight.
Yeah, so this was an original song she wrote for the movie treatment of her life called What's Love Got to Do With It, which came out, I think, in the early 90s, which is wild to think that it was like 30 years prior to her passing, there was this biopic done about her life. And if you're not familiar with her story, I mean, she was originally a duo with her then husband, Ike Turner, and sort of shot up to fame, but you know, they had this awful relationship where Ike Turner was abusing her. And that's what the movie kind of takes you through, is their relationship. And then she walks away from him at the end. And obviously her career continues to soar while his kind of falls by the wayside. And it's funny because at the end, she's, you know, he's very much like, you're nothing without me. You know, what do you, you know, they talk about having this sort of complicated divorce, but she's like, you can take everything, you know, I just want my name. And she walks away and just sort of rebuilds her career from there, and it just takes off. So it's actually, I think it's a great movie, and this song is just perfect for sort of exhibiting this broken relationship and how she's just like, I don't want to do this anymore, right? Like, on top of the fact that she's the one getting abused, but it's also just, she expresses this kind of weariness, but also how, you know, there used to be some positive things in this relationship, but now it's like, nope, I'm done with this. Like, all it is just negativity and fighting.
Yeah, no, her story really is incredible. And what she went on to do and make such an enormous name for herself. The other thing that made me happy about listening to this song again is it reminded me that this was also on my parents' like mix that they would listen to all the time.
So we got another one. We got a bingo.
Yeah, you got a bingo. Longtime listeners will know that there, ever since the start of the show, there have been songs that appear that remind me of being in the car with my parents, or they had like this CD or mixtapes that they would listen to on repeat all the time. So this was on there. So we got another one. It's always exciting when that happens.
Nice, nice. All right, let's bring this one home. Track 12, your last pick, Mrs. Robinson by Simon and Garfunkel.
Yeah, I think this was, I'm pretty sure we've talked about this song on a previous mix. It may have been something from the 60s, like a 60s mixtape, but I had to include it again. It's from the film The Graduate, which is also like a top 10 movie for me. I absolutely love Dustin Hoffman in that film. And I just like the weirdness of the movie. It's great. But, you know, the thing that really makes me laugh about this song is how it came to be like the song for The Graduate. The creators of the movie were looking for, you know, a song to go along with it. And they loved Simon and Garfunkel's music. And they were like, hey, can you write us a song? And I'm pretty sure it was that Simon and Garfunkel were like, well, we were going to write the song Mrs. Roosevelt about Eleanor Roosevelt. And, but, you know, we could literally just swap out Roosevelt for Robinson because it's the exact same number of syllables and it works in the song. And so they're like, great, we're done. Here's your song. Similar to kind of, you know, it's almost in the same category as like Bruce just like, you know, knocking a song out 30 minutes after, right, after finishing a concert. They're just kind of like, yeah, whatever. Just, you know, find and replace Roosevelt with Robinson. Let's call it a day.
It's like in modern times, it would be like as if an assignment was due today. And it's like, yes. Guys, remember we asked you to write that song? Yeah, yeah, no, we got it. I'll just send it over right now. It's on my home computer. Let me get back home. Yeah. Yeah, here you go, guys. Yeah, just
oh my god,
quick find and replace. Okay, just drop in Robinson. All right, there you go, guys. Yep, we're good. Yep. These lyrics so don't awesome. Fit, but I love that you titled it Mrs. Robinson. This is great.
Right. Yeah, I know, because like, you know, the movie is like about Dustin Hoffman's character, who's like young, just out of college, who starts dating this older woman and then ends up dating and trying to marry her daughter. Which is very strange and bizarre. And it's like, again, just an interesting film. But, you know, she's like a bored kind of socialite. And this, I feel like, again, is pretty clearly Mrs. Roosevelt in her life. Like, I think especially verse 3, you know, sitting on a sofa on a Sunday afternoon, going to the candidates debate, laugh about it, shout about it when you've got to choose. You know, it's like, I didn't imagine that this woman in the movie is going to any candidates debate. But, you know, it's fine. It works.
It's never quite matched up. Yeah.
Right.
Well, yeah. And interestingly, it was not eligible for the Oscars the year it was released. And part of it is because I think it was not purely written for it was like this technicality. It was not purely written for the movie. It was like a song released with the movie or something like that. But I don't know. For some reason, that relationship ended up making it like not eligible to win an Oscar, because I was certain this would have won the Oscar. But alas. Right. All right. Well, there you have it. It's another super awesome mix for your collection. This time, music from movies that some of which you may have seen, some of which you just heard of, but, you know, probably worth checking out. And go to the movies this summer, right? Like, you can go to the movies again. So check out some of the blockbusters. I think there's a lot of fun movies coming out. And, you know, while you're maybe thinking about whether they're good or bad, go ahead and give us a 5-star review while you're listening to the show here. Samer and I will get to work on our next mix. So for Samer, this is Matt, and we'll see you next time. Super Awesome Mix is brought to you by DLM. Make shopping easy with DLM, the one-stop shop for all your casual clothing needs. Shop DLMSupplyCo.com and enter the promo code AWESOME at checkout to save 15% off your first purchase. That's DLMSupplyCo.com.